If you'd like to listen to our podcasts without ads, please consider becoming a member. In addition to no ads, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, access to our Discord community, enhanced show notes for select shows, and more. For this week only, get 50% off the first year or the first month of membership. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and use code ECLIPSE to receive the discount. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code ECLIPSE. Thank you very much for your support.
This is the Daily Blast from the New Republic, produced and presented by the DSR Network. I'm your host, Greg Sargent. Here on the podcast, we've spent some time talking about how Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential run could draw votes from President Biden, helping to return Donald Trump to the White House. But now some new polling is complicating the picture. It shows RFK drawing a fair amount of support from Trump, and even some Republicans are starting to fear this is the case. We still think RFK on balance poses a greater threat to Biden. But what's now clear is how little we know about the RFK effect. It's plainly become a highly unpredictable factor. So how should Democrats think about all this right now? For some help, today we're talking to veteran Democratic strategist Joe Trippi, who has a lot of ideas about RFK and what sort of spoiler role he may play. Welcome, Joe.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Okay, so this week we got two quality polls showing a surprise. Marist found that Biden leads by 3 nationally, but factoring in RFK and other third-party candidates, his lead grows to 5. NBC found Biden trailing Trump by 2 nationally, but factor in RFK and others, and Biden then leads by 2. What's your sense of all this right now?
I don't really think any of these polls doesn't make any sense to rely on them at all. Clearly, the way I look at this is in 2016, Donald Trump got 46% of the vote. In 2020, he won. In 2020, he got 46.7% of the vote, 7/10 more than he did in 2016, and lost. There's a reason that happened, and it was the strength of third parties. In other words, in 2016, third parties were stronger. Forget about who, what, when. They were stronger, and and what Trump needed was a 46 kind of race in which he would eke out his win despite the popular vote. In 2020, you needed to get over 50 to win because the third parties being weak. Trump got his 46.7. Biden got 51% of the vote. Got over 50. So my own view is what happened here is the Trump team is pretty smart, went to school on what worked for them in 2016, what didn't work for them in 2020. Oh, we need strong third parties and we have a shot at keeping this 46-46. Donald Trump cannot get to 50%. Not going to happen. Biden has proven he can. There's basically 55% of the electorate that is available to Joe Biden. I mean, to the pro-democracy, stop Trump, whatever you want to call it.
Coalition. Anti-MAGA.
Yeah, anti-MAGA. It's 54-55%. Anything that threatens to split that up, that might split it up, that, you know, there isn't a whole lot. I've done a lot of focus groups myself. There are not a whole lot of Trump supporters. In fact, I can find almost none that say, oh, well, wait, he shot somebody on Fifth Avenue. He had must have had a good reason. But I'm not going to leave him over any of that stuff, but I'll leave him because RFK Jr. or some other third party. It doesn't happen.
Well, let me throw a counter argument at you, if I may. I don't think we've considered how the RFK factor interacts with Trump's increasing criminal travails, right? Some of this polling shows that RFK may be cutting into Trump's support among kind of right-leaning, Trumpy-leaning independents, right? And so the more Trump's trials advance, the more he looks like a sordid, grubby figure, the businessman shtick no longer makes him look outsidery or above politics. He's dirty, right? And I think that creates an opening for RFK to appeal to some of these right-leaning indies. Is that far-fetched?
Yeah, I think so. At least at the focus groups that I've, and other things that I've looked at and that we've seen, that's not really the mindset of most of the people that would, that are in this kind of world of, I don't like Biden, I don't like Trump, please give me something else. Most of them are people, particularly women, it's interesting, Republican or they could be suburban Republican women or independent Republican leaning women. It's true though with men as well. But they will often be describing themselves in focus groups as these women in particular literally talk in terms of barely hanging by their fingernails inside the Republican Party because of Trump and MAGA. They cannot countenance that for 30 years, 40 years, they've been a member of that party and look at what it's become. When it's a binary choice, or when they perceive it as a binary choice, they basically have made the decision that they are in that 54% that do not want Trump to be back in the Oval Office. And they grudgingly move to Biden. And that's what got Biden to 51% in 2020. They grudgingly, in a MAGA House race versus a MAGA candidate versus a Doug Jones kind of Democrat, or you know, where they will grudgingly, for the first time in their lives, a lot of them vote for, or if they truly are independent, that's enough to get them to vote for a Democrat.
Joe, you're saying that if they have an option other than Democrat as a way to register their protest of what the Trump MAGA party has become, they'll grab that.
They take an off-ramp, yeah. A lot of them take that off-ramp. Some of them will take the off-ramp of not voting, but that's actually pretty small. Again, their bigger motivation is, again, you see it in the polling where all these people who say they're not voting for Biden, they're voting against Trump. It's more a vote against him. The group we're talking about that's going to decide this election has fundamentally decided that they don't want Trump. They can't believe they have to vote for Biden. Nothing I have ever seen says anything other than, look, binary choice. More of those, some of them will vote for Trump, some of them will stay home, but more of them will vote for Biden. That's the difference that happened in 2020. That is, I think, what happens this time. And the biggest threat to that is RFK Jr. and the others, but he's the bigger threat right now because of his VP choice, the money he has, the nostalgia, the Kennedy name, all kinds of different reasons why he could be nothing but a spoiler, buddy, but it would be a spoiler for Trump, in my view.
I want to ask you about that sort of appeal of the Kennedys, right? I've said this on here before, but I think RFK's appeal is inflated. He benefits from this kind of twofer in which he has high name recognition and positive association with the Kennedys, just as you said. But he also, at the same time, benefits from the fact that almost no voters are aware of his specific crackpot positions. And that's a really kind of unique situation that has got to puff up his appeal and really makes it pretty easy to deflate, no? I mean, look, if Democrats really put some money into educating voters about RFK's actual positions and about the fact that a lot of Kennedys oppose RFK's bid, I think that could make a difference. What do you think?
No, it makes a difference. The problem with that is, one, we got to do that. The Kennedy family, all that has to happen. The money has to be spent to define him that way, to diminish him as much as possible. That's the real problem here. And you know this, Greg, is that, Georgia was decided by 14,000 votes, Arizona by a little bit more than 10,000, Pennsylvania in 2020, by 44,000, something like that. Don't hold me to those, but that's relatively close. Michigan is problematic. It is a place I still think that Biden will win, but again, that's going to be very close. Even North Carolina, where Biden lost North Carolina by 74,000 votes in 2020. And North Carolina's in play because the MAGA crowd's gone out and nominated a guy for governor who says out loud he wants to go back to a time when women weren't allowed to vote. They've nominated a statewide superintendent of education who has called for the execution of Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Those statewide MAGA candidates are going to go down by large margins. RFK is not going to get 20 points in North Carolina. He's not going to get 20 points in California. Can you knock him down to 3 points? 2, of course. Is it possible? For sure, for the reasons you point out. The problem is Ralph Nader got 100,000 votes in Florida and in 2000, and Gore lost it by 500 votes. And a lot of people still contend, and now for that Ralph Nader didn't cost the election, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's still the threat that I think RFK is out there. Even if we can define, do what you talked about, define him down.
Joe, you mentioned Michigan. That seems like a particularly dangerous place for Biden, especially with RFK in the mix. I mean, there's a state where you could easily see a lot of young, disaffected voters, maybe some Arab American rebelling against Biden, somehow deciding that they just want to register a protest and finding themselves incapable of voting for Trump for obvious reasons, the Muslim ban and so forth. RFK is an easy protest vote for them.
Yeah, no, you'd make my point. So it doesn't, you knock him down to 3-4 points, but in Michigan, even if you can successfully do that, he could be a factor that pulls away more from Biden than Trump, regardless of what some national poll today says about who he pulls more from. What is his millions of dollars in these states? Is it going to be, I'm an anti-vaxxer, and I'm a bigger anti-vaxxer than Donald Trump, so vote for me? Or is it going to be Biden's old, we need young, energetic leadership to make real change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well,
you raise an interesting question there, I think, or at least an interesting possibility, which is that there's a certain type of messaging from RFK along the lines of, it's a duopoly now, the two parties are both bad, they're both run by spent figures who have been around too long, we've already seen them fail. That kind of messaging actually ends up hurting Biden more than Trump, I think.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So right now, as you pointed out, no one really knows RFK's, where he's at, his where he's at on any issues. That guy's sort of surviving off positive name ID of, of Kennedy, whatever mystique, whatever people have, the nostalgia they have in their heads. And that means in a lot of ways, it's imperative that he be defined as for the nutty views that he has, because that at least helps diminish him. But also, he's going to be out there, spending money, talking about his campaign. That's also going to have an impact, and I doubt very much it's going to be him embracing his crazy policies, right? I think it'll be some sort of, like you just laid out, in which case, yeah, so right now you're measuring this sort of amorphous nothing but some name ID and where everybody shifts. And yeah, there may be people from either side that shift a little bit more or less, depending on what their perception of him is. But once he starts to engage and to message against, I think it's clear he'll be messaging in a way that's against Biden. He's made that very clear. I mean, this New York chair who they canned because she said out loud that she's going to vote for Bobby, but she doesn't really care as long as this all works to defeat Joe Biden. I mean, they're saying that, you know, a lot of the people who won fund him and are organizing this thing or encouraging him have made it pretty clear this is about going after Biden and stopping Biden. It's not about stopping Trump. They'd be fine with that.
Let me get your bottom line on this then. Politico reports that some Republicans are now fearing that RFK takes from Trump more than Biden. Trump himself said something like that on the air. You've got Trump's campaign manager viciously attacking RFK. You've got other Trump allies doing the same. They're all attacking him as a leftist. So do you think that's just a bait and switch? Do you think that they actually believe that RFK helps them and they're just trying to put out chum for the press to kind of grab onto, which muddies the water around what they're actually up to?
Yeah, I don't think Tim Mellon, who has given millions to Trump, to super PACs that support Trump and to Trump, has now given, I think, upwards of $20 million to the super PAC that supports RFK Jr. I don't believe that's an accident. I don't think that Steve Bannon spent a lot of time. In fact, RFK Jr. says he was flattered by how many times Steve Bannon talked to him about running, or encouraging him to run for president. No, I think this is all calculated. I think they know, by the way, they do know that if he is framed as a crazy lunatic lefty and he's out there making the argument that you just made about, you know, about both of them and we need the new, like I said, new leadership, et cetera. They know that's going to work for him. That's why we have to make, again, knock down the lies. The lie is that he's some kind of crazy lefty. No, he is a Trump anti-vax, you know, creation of his own and, you know, conspiracy theorist. And hopefully, I don't think there will be many, but hopefully some of those folks, conspiracy folks, will vote for him over Trump. I doubt that's going to happen. I think it will stop enough of those Republicans and Republican-leaning independents to say, oh, wait, I don't want that, more MAGA. You know, I don't want that. That's not what this is about. But I do think they know exactly what they're doing. I just don't think any of this is a coincidence. God knows who's funding Jill Stein. We all know Harlan Crow, who gave, you know, provided those vacations for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, was a big six-figure contributor to No Labels. I don't believe any of that's an accident. I'm sorry, guys. No, I think it goes back to what I said. They know they need third parties to keep this into a 46-46 kind of race, which, by the way, if you look at most of the head-to-heads right now, that's sort of where things are. The reason what happens is those people, that 54% that is available to Biden, and by the way, there's only 46% of the country that's available to Trump, and he'll get all of it. So this is a 46-52-53 race in a binary decision point. Where is this RFK Jr. Third-party candidacy? Can he draw enough? And that's all this is about. It's really, the question is, can he draw enough of that 54 points that are anti-Trump down to where you're making this a 46-47 kind of race? And Donald Trump wins that. He will absolutely win that because of the tightness in those battleground states. hopefully some journalists out there will start to connect the dots, because I really honestly believe if you follow the money, there's just too many dots that connect all this third party stuff up with why would Trump want all these third parties? It's an obvious answer to that.
Well, I'll tell you this, Joe. One thing that supports your point of view here is that Democrats are certainly not acting as if RFK helps them in any way. And they're acting as if the one thing that RFK could do is reelect Trump to the presidency. Folks, if you want more from Joe Trippi, make sure to check out his show, his own podcast, That Trippi Show. Joe, thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Folks, make sure to check out a bunch of new content we have up at TNR.com right now. Timothy Noah on the UAW's big VW victory in Chattanooga and why that's rattled Republicans. Matt Ford on the Supreme Court and homelessness. And of course, to reiterate, we have a new package up, 25 political influencers to watch in 2024. Definitely check all that out. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to The Daily Blast with me, your host, Greg Sargent. The Daily Blast is a New Republic podcast and is produced by Riley Fessler on the DSR Network.